KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:02, it's partly to mostly cloudy here in Atlantic and 53 degrees. We look for a chance of showers or scattered thunderstorms today in a high around 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Interstate 80 westbound remains closed at this time near Adair following a collision earlier this morning between two semi-tractor trailers. The crash occurred at the 75-mile marker, or about 1 mile west of Adair. The Cass County Communications Center dispatched Anita and Wyota Fire and Rescue at around 5:50 a.m. One person was injured and transported to the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Rescue crews are no longer on the scene. The Iowa DOT reports traffic is being detoured around the crash through Anita. No other details are currently available. The accident remains under investigation by the Iowa State Patrol. News time is 8:03.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A $300,000 settlement with the families of three girls who were involved in the Atlantic High School strip search incident will be mostly covered by the Atlantic Community School District's insurance policy. Atlantic Superintendent Mike Amstein wanted to set the record straight on how the settlement would be paid for during the Board of Education meeting last night.
I know there's been a number of questions and speculation out there on just what the school district's responsibility has been in the settlements. We contacted EMC and they've indicated to us that the school district's financial responsibility within those settlements would be the $1,500 deductible, which they apply. So, you know, to any speculation or questions about that, hopefully once we pay that deductible, we'll be done with that and be able to move on. But wanted to mention that.
Last month, it was announced the Atlantic School District had agreed to pay $300,000 in all to the families of three students who were strip-searched by a school employee in August of 2009. The lawsuit alleged that former Atlantic High School assistant principal Paul Cron ordered a strip search of five female students when another student reported they were missing $100. No money was found after the searches. Cron resigned in 2009. The plaintiffs alleged the school violated the girls' state and federal rights against unreasonable searches. On September 20th, Atlantic school officials admitted that the searches were against school policy and state law. They also said the girls did nothing wrong. The settlement, however, did not absolve the district from its legal problems associated with the case. Last month, an open records lawsuit was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa against the school district, and that reached the Iowa Court of Appeals, where it currently stands. The civil rights organization has been trying to find out what disciplinary action, if any, was imposed on school officials involved in the search. The organization had initially lost its bid to have the information disclosed in district court, but appealed the decision. The district has denied the ACLU's request for information on the matter, saying disclosure would violate the employees' privacy. ACLU officials have said that because the public has a legitimate and compelling interest in what transpired at the high school, the information should be disclosed. Atlantic Community School District Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein Tuesday announced the district has been selected by the Iowa Department of Education for a Breaking Barriers to Learning and Teaching Award. The award is presented each year to those districts which make major progress in closing the gaps in student achievement by improving instruction, curriculum, and program for students and professional development opportunities for school staff.
Iowa Department of Education analyzed the achievement scores from the fall of 2010, and basically there were two instances where there was significant decrease in the achievement gap of those subgroups. The first one was in third grade reading, and it was the SES group, the socioeconomic group, and then also in sixth grade reading, there was a significant reduction in the achievement gap between the SES group and the full academic year group.
The subgroups include English Learner Language or English Language Learner, or ELL, Individualized Education Plans, IEP, or the Socioeconomic Status Groups. Districts earned the Breaking Barriers Award if they saw proficiency in math or reading by at least 20% among two or more subgroups of students, while not allowing a decline of more than 5% in other subgroups of students. As mentioned, Amstein said the Atlantic School District received recognition for its efforts in reducing the achievement gap in the third grade reading SES group and in sixth grade reading between the SES group and the general academic peer groups.
And I believe that if you focus on a problem as far as taking a look at achievement and you concentrate on that, I think you'd make a difference. So I applaud the administrators and also the teachers, not only in third grade in reading and sixth grade in reading, but across the district. We're getting ready to test again this fall, and my expectations are higher than they were last year, just as the benchmarks for No Child Left Behind are much higher than they were last year.
The award will be presented to school board member Phil Haskell on behalf of the district on November 16th at the Iowa Association of School Boards annual convention at Hy-Vee Hall in Des Moines.
I think it's a great honor for the Atlantic School District, and I think it reinforces the board's focus on instruction.
Elsewhere in local news, firefighters in Atlantic were called to the scene of a residential fire Tuesday afternoon. The call about flames seen through an upstairs window at 401 Maple Street came in just before 4 p.m. Atlantic Assistant Fire Chief Tim Cappell.
Upon arrival, we had some smoke coming out the eaves. Appeared that a candle caught some drapes on fire that was right next to a bed. It was an unattended candle. The resident put the fire out. He threw some clothes on top of it and threw some water on to extinguish the flames. The resident did suffer some minor burns to his hands and his feet.
Cappell said the incident should serve as a reminder to people why it's important to have smoke detectors and fire extinguishers in the home, especially this time of year.
Make sure you keep your candles away from drapes and anything that's flammable, and never leave the room.
And this is Fire Safety Week.
Make sure you change your batteries and put up smoke detectors if you don't got them.
Firefighters in Griswold and Elliott spent about 3 hours fighting a fire 2 miles north of Elliott early Tuesday morning. The call about the blaze at 540th and Yankton Road came in around midnight. Griswold Fire Chief Jim Wyman says when they arrived on the scene, a vacant house with an adjacent trailer was fully engulfed in flames. Mutual aid provided by firefighters from Elliott was dispatched just after midnight Tuesday, according to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department. Wyman says the structures were a complete loss and there wasn't much left to do except for to clean up the mess left behind and prevent the fire from spreading to 3 nearby cornfields. He said the cause of the fire remains under investigation, and he hopes this isn't the beginning of a trend.
I'm just wondering where the next one's going to be.
Wyman said there were no injuries reported.
Thank God the wind wasn't blowing. The air was getting heavy. That helped us.
And fog was not a problem on the way to the fire early Tuesday morning, but Wyman says on the way back to the station, it was a problem they had to contend with. Visibilities by sunrise on Tuesday were down to less than 1/4 of a mile. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, Vice President Joe Biden says an alleged plot by Iranian government agents to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in the U.S. was, quote, really over the top. But Biden tells CBS's The Early Show he doesn't want to speculate on how high the Iranian government's chain of command in the plot may have gone. Negotiators for Chrysler and the United Auto Workers Union have reached an agreement on a 4-year contract that would create 2,100 new jobs. The automaker would also invest $4.5 billion in its plants. The contract agreement is the first reached since Chrysler's government bailout and bankruptcy 2 years ago. Union members still have to vote on it. And a New Jersey community college says it's disappointed that one of its professors asked a stuttering student to keep quiet during class. The County College of Morris acknowledges that adjunct professor Elizabeth Snyder acted improperly when an email was sent to the 16-year-old asking him to save his questions for after class. The email, obtained by the Star-Ledger of Newark, says the request was made, quote, so we do not infringe on other students' time. News time is 8:11.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Tom Arn, age 68 of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Services for Tom Arn will be held today at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ here in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Kathleen K. Cooley Schwaderer, age 64, of Des Moines, and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Friday. Funeral services for Kathleen Cooley will be held today at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Bernard Pardee, age 99, of Hamlin, died Sunday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Bernard Pardee will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Maxine Hayes, age 92, of Exira, died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Maxine Hayes will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Frances Jarnigan, age 72, of Panora, died Sunday at her home. Memorial services for Frances Jarnigan will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Mardell Hancock, age 83, of Waverly and formerly of Indianola, died Saturday at her home. A graveside service for Mardell Hancock will be held next Monday at 5 o'clock at the Memorial Garden Cemetery in Atlantic. Barb Colvin, age 67, of Oakland, died Sunday at her home. Cremation has taken place, and services for Barb Colvin will be held at a later date. The Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Virginia Rasmussen, age 86, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Nursing Home. Funeral services for Virginia Rasmussen are currently pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.